Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
We've got Brett Davis with us. How's it going, mate?
Hey, really good. Good to be here.
And of course, my beautiful wife, Brianna. How are you tonight?
I am very well and super excited to be here with Brett.
I know. He's all about Christian surfers and a whole lot of other stuff. So we look forward to hearing what he's got to say.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Short question or long question?
Who is Brett?
Who is Brett? Okay. I am just turned, about to turn 64.
Nice, Nintendo 64.
Yeah. I'm still surfing every week, which is fantastic.
Awesome.
I would say my greatest achievement would have been a wife who's stuck with me for some 38 years. So Gil's awesome.
Lovely.
Shout out, Gil.
Three amazing adult children. And I've recently become a grandfather.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Little Hal is flying in from Hobart tomorrow morning.
Oh, how exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, he's a frequent flyer. This is his fifth trip to Sydney in 6 months. So.
Probably got more points than I have.
Yeah, I reckon he would.
I'm living in little Coaldale, which is south of here. We've been down there 33 years in a house that I built with another ex-GBC person, Sean and Wendy Potts.
Oh, cool, nice.
We live in community in a block there, and we've been there 33 years. So part of Ostie Church, which is an Anglican church down there, surfing a long time and loving my little office space, a community office space to help facilitate.
Nice.
Above the Finbox Surf Shop and Cafe in
Farrell. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's my other thing. You guys do coffee? You should swing by and come and check it out.
There you go.
Ostomy is a beautiful place, but beautiful beach down there.
Yeah.
Gorgeous part of the world.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It's great. So that's a few things. There's lots more.
Fantastic. Well, Brett, what is something that people may not know about you?
Ooh.
Okay.
Is he an open book? Does people know everything already? Or
I have written a book.
Maybe you told the story there.
Story, yeah. Occasionally I do say, people ask me, what's the story that's not in the book? These things are usually your failures or some of the embarrassing moments. Things about me, a lot of people know me for my surfing and ministry stuff, but I'm also actually quite keen about woodwork.
I have a
little sideline business called Wood Stories.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
I teach woodwork. I sell some woodwork items. I do treehouse consultancy and builds.
Treehouse platforms.
I build families by building treehouses together.
Awesome.
And I love getting on a chainsaw and milling my own timber. So that's a 1 day a week sideline.
Okay.
Love it.
Awesome.
I used to dabble in woodwork and one day would love to get back into it. Do you have a favorite wood to work with?
I love working actually with the burls, which are the scar tissues on trees, interesting enough, and they've just got incredible figure and patterns and randomness and disorder. But it's a great analogy of life too. In my hands, the scar tissue of the tree can become the most beautiful part. I'd like to think God can do the same.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yep.
Exactly.
Uniquely formed an individual.
Yeah,
love
that's right.
That. Love that. And plug for your book for those who want to read in and find out more.
What's the book?
Groundswell was published back in 2012. I've still got 1,000 copies in boxes in the church.
Excellent.
So if you need a copy,
free, we're giving them away.
Did you do an EPUB for that as well? Or?
There is an electronic version, but it's not available online. Mm-hmm. But, we've just tried to get rid of paper copies.
Feel free to reach out if you're keen for a copy.
Yeah. And they used to have piles of them at GBC when you used to have a bookshop.
We do still have a little book nook, so
I should there could be some, a copy
bring
there.
Some, bring some back up, yeah.
And with take one.
Please have a read of it, yeah.
Yeah, but Groundswell, it was the Christian Surfer story, and my theme is ordinary people with an extraordinary God. I feel like that's my story.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome, that's great. Well, talking about books, is there a particular book that has influenced your faith journey?
Wow, quite a few, some old, some very recent.
Mm-hmm.
So Younger Years, Knowing God by J.I. Packer had a profound impact on me, a classic. Probably a lot of people would have never read it now. More recently, Mark Comer, who wrote the book The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and I've just finished reading his book Live No Lies. Just a profound younger guy that has such a timely word for our generation, especially on the ruthless elimination of hurry. So he's a recent writer. Dallas Willard, who would be one of the greatest 20th century Christian philosophers, reading his book The Spirit of the Disciplines. Another book called The Divine Conspiracy. So big shout out for Dallas.
Yeah, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Excellent. Yeah, if anyone's looking for some new books to get onto, there's some really great recommendations there.
New and old.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can't beat the classics sometimes.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's the reason they're a classic, right? Timeless.
Absolutely. Brett, could you tell us a bit about how and when you became a Christian?
Yes. So don't come from a family of faith. Mm-hmm. Good people in Guymere Bay Road. My parents are still living in the same house for 61 years.
Oh, wow.
And so across the road is the Axton family, some good people. And they actually had a minibus and would take kids to the Boys Brigade group at Guymere Baptist Church.
Oh, cool.
Oh, how good.
So across the road was an old hall, and that was my first encounter with the Christian faith, was this boys club. I loved the God talk at the end. I loved all the physical activity and that, but I loved the God talk. But I must say that when I went to Kirrawee High School just up the road, this God stuff wasn't so cool. I decided to become a surfer, and I met a Christian who was a surfer, which was absolutely unimaginable in the 70s. Surfing was very countercultural, to meet a Christian who was a surfer. And my friend Jeff had changed my life meeting him.
Wow.
And I got a chance to really weigh up this childhood faith that I had at Guymere Baptist Boys Brigade. Fast track that to a 17-year-old who said yes to Jesus because of the influence of another Christian who was a surfer.
Oh, wow.
That was
awesome.
The big change in 1977.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And that's that moment where, like you said, as a child, you had a childlike faith almost, or?
Yes. Yes, I had that simple belief. But as any 17-year-old will tell you now, as an adult, I needed to make an adult decision.
Yes.
And I think it's also that stage of life where you're really weighing up, what foundation am I going to build my life on? And I had surfing isn't just a sport, it's more of a lifestyle, and even more that it becomes your whole identity. I'm not a surfboard rider, I'm a surfer. And the thing I was building my life on, surfing, I suddenly was realizing with the switch of a wind direction, change of the tide, and it was gone. And the surfers I was aspiring to be were great surfers, but just because you're great at something doesn't make you great. But they were terribly selfish, often womanizing, drug abusing people, and I was looking at that going, is that really what I wanted to become? So I was in a very reflective stage of life about what's going to be the foundation for life. It's a good thing for any 16 to 18-year-old to be thinking about, but how wonderful that Jesus got a hold of me and has been that firm foundation with no regrets ever since.
Yeah, wise words. And it is such a pivotal time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad he got a hold of me young.
Yeah.
Something to think about, you teenagers.
Yeah, I made a deal with God when I started surfing that when I was old and about to die, like when you're 64 or something.
Oh, yep.
that's when I'd say yes to Jesus, you know, like at the end of life. And what a surprise, you know, when Jesus came knocking on my door as a 17-year-old.
Yes. Mm.
And oh, I'm so glad to have said yes to him while I was young. Mm. And I saved myself a lot of heartache.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a ride, huh? Yeah.
Yep. So shout out to any young person. Say yes sooner than later.
Yeah,
I think it's true for all of us,
yeah,
to be honest.
It's well worth it.
Absolutely. Changes your life.
No regrets.
No regrets. Awesome.
So are you part of the GBC community? And if you are, what does that look like?
Yeah, great. I have been part of the GBC community definitely as that new Christian, been involved with the In-Betweeners group, which many people remember those iconic days, was a youth deacon on the diaconate.
Yeah.
And then it started this Christian surfer thing and had plenty of barefooted, sandy kids in the front two rows of Gaimia Baptist Church. So that was my early era. And then taking the step to it was actually the room across there, sitting in with the senior pastor, Kevin Smith, saying that I feel called to full-time surf ministry and expecting to be laughed out of the room. And
and you weren't.
I wasn't. I was wholeheartedly embraced and awesome. Saying we'd like to really adopt you as a missionary from our church. So I've been part of that community as a supported missionary since that time in 1983.
Fantastic. Oh, and awesome. Still to this
day. So 40 years.
Yeah, I had a gap where I left Christian Surfers, worked, went to Bible college,
sure.
Went back working to consolidate finances and then build a house. So there was a four-year gap, but outside of that 4 years, 36-odd years has been Gaimia Baptist backing me as one of their missionaries, one of their own, who was launched out from this church.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's so encouraging.
And you've mentioned Christian Surfers a few times now, so I'm keen to hear a bit more about it. You know, who are Christian Surfers? What does that mean? Like, how do people get involved?
Yeah, great. Good question. So our purpose, we would say, is definitely that every surfer and every surfing community would have the opportunity to know and follow Jesus. That's our vision. And my personal experience of that was my own salvation, like meeting another surfer who could enter my world and share the person of Jesus had a huge impact on me and resulted in me starting that with my friend back as a group of teenagers in 1977, starting that Christian Surfer group. It's grown to a world movement and people today would find their way connecting with it in a local chapter. There's one in Cronulla. The one we started has gone nonstop ever since that in 1977.
Isn't that incredible?
It's
gone through
that.
Yeah,
so many eras and generations. Yeah. And some of those people are now missionaries in other parts of the world, like Shane Sparks and others like that, who's also a GBC missionary, but he cut his teeth in Christian Surfers as a teenager.
Yeah, cool.
And that was – so there's great, great stories. So people would connect with a local group and would find a way of connecting with other Christians who surfed, but with the purpose that you could take that passion you have for your surfing, combine it with God's purpose and get to share – with surfers who probably worship the waves that God made, that you can worship the God who made the waves.
Yes.
And that's a great transition.
How good is that?
A great thing. So, yeah, that's the purpose of Christian Surfers, when it started and how you would connect today.
Amazing. Nice. And just my mind is blown by how many people's lives have probably been changed through that over the years, not just here in the grassroots but all over the world, like you said, and people have been given hope, been given life, and something more. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many different Christian Surfers, like satellites, would you have around the world roughly?
Yeah, yeah. I think the overall picture that Christian Surfers is operating in about 30 countries.
Wow.
There would be close to a couple of hundred chapters. Mm-hmm. Some countries are national movements with many, many chapters.
Yep, yep.
Local missions. Others are consisting of a series of individuals who are networked together.
Okay.
Awesome. And that would engage, you know, hundreds of volunteer leaders who are in turn connecting with thousands of people on a regular level who in turn influence tens of thousands of people in some small way. So we'd like to think of it as the yeast that works its way through the batch like Jesus' parable. It was a mustard seed. It started so small and no one more surprised than me. That picture is constantly expanding. Some groups, countries are thriving and growing. Others are really struggling and collapsing. But surfing itself is growing. It's now an Olympic sport.
Mm.
It's got massive cross-generational and mainstream attention. And so the opportunity for missions is greater than ever.
So good. So who has been really significant in supporting you in your Christian walk? Someone in your past or?
Someone now.
Someone now.
Yeah. Really interesting question because I've been out front with no one ahead of me since I was 18. And I would say that I've been fairly solitary in some of that. Obviously, you know, my mate Jeff, who led me to Christ and has continued to be a friend and just a foundational influence, was really important. And even those early days when you've just got your raw peer group, there was very significant people even here at GBC with Richard Thackeray, who'd been on staff and done some youth stuff, was a very influential person in my early days. I would say in more recent times I've been more mentored by books and other writers have really affected me and influenced me a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting how you can be mentored by people at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been probably very real. And over the years there's been key people from other ministries that have been inspiring because no one's been ahead of me in Christian surfers.
Mm.
So I've had to find leaders from other groups.
Sure.
I've got a friend, Eddie, who pioneered the global sports movement, who's been an amazing character and has been, he's in his 70s now, and he's definitely a person I would aspire in any measure to be like. So it's great to have things like that. Mm. But I'd say probably books and authors have affected me so much.
And that gets you to look kind of inward as well, like not all the way, but like introspectively.
Reflection.
Reflectively when you're looking at a book and what the author has to say about this aspect of life or this aspect of life.
Yeah.
It's a bit different from than hearing it from someone you know or
that's right.
Respect.
Yeah. That's right. I am encouraging and I would say now I encourage people that everyone should have someone ahead of them, someone beside them and someone behind them.
Mm.
Who's the person ahead of you in the next life stage? And I neglected that. And now I have a couple of guys that I would say are ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have people beside you. And I've got a number of guys who are in my life stage and it's great. Yep. And then lots of people behind you who are you encouraging in the next life stage.
Yeah,
you
know, that's right.
That you can do that. So that's a great phrase when you talk about who influences you, how mentoring takes place, someone ahead of you, someone beside you, someone behind you.
Yeah, I love that because we can all be that. To someone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. We can. Yeah.
We can all be that. And in fact, we all need it.
Mm.
How different.
Even you teenagers can be that too.
That's right.
There's someone behind you as well, seriously. Someone in front and someone beside.
Yeah. Man, like what 18-year-old, what an impact you can have on a 13-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Gold. And if you're 26, a cool 26-year-old can have a huge impact on an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right through to 80s, 90s and beyond.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so much wisdom to share.
Yeah, and we are better together. Amen. We are better together across generations. And
we
silo ourselves into our own age groups, man, you're going to suffer. You're never going to get the wholeness of life and wisdom. You're never going to get the wholeness of what Jesus has to offer as a body anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm floored with some of the conversations I've been having with some of our younger adults and even the youth here. Just, oh, so inspiring, so encouraging. Yeah. So, you know, even us oldies can learn stuff from the young ones and be inspired.
I'm looking at you guys going, you're the youngies. Like.
We're not as young as we seem.
That's right.
Yeah, useful skin, right?
That's right.
Amazing. If I was to ask you what your take on discipleship is, What would that look like and how do you live that out?
Great question. Discipleship sounds like a very religious kind of word, but yeah. I just see it as an apprenticeship. You know, most of us understand apprenticeship, you know,
yep.
where you become, and I'd say more than about behaving, it's about becoming like someone. That's a true apprenticeship. So I want to, my definition of discipleship is becoming like Jesus. And yeah. I want to be on a journey, an apprenticeship to not just adopt external behaviors to look like a good Christian, but to become like Jesus. And I don't think there's any better way of doing that than that real engaging, honest, vulnerable relationship that can take place in. And, you know, I've been discipled by plenty of books, but there's nothing like just the regular face-to-face stuff where you got to share not only the right answers but what's the real answer.
Yeah.
You know, you often real with people. Yeah, that's right. Often we're just so conditioned, you got to give the right answer in terms of what you believe in your doctrine. You give the right answer about how you're meant to behave. But come on, like, give me the real answer because that is only place to really be transformed. And I know that what's right and true has a power in and of itself, but I got a feeling if it's not real, it's not right. Even if what you're saying is right, but if it's not real, how can it be right? So there's something in all of that. But authentic relationships, just honest, and let's just cut the religious Christian talk and
be real.
Be real about it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the big faith question we're going to get to. Where have you seen Jesus at work in your life?
Okay. Big question, because I would hope to think Jesus is at work
all the time.
Though I must
narrow it down.
I'll tell you this. I'll give you one embarrassing story of the opposite. The theme for our first Christian Surfers conference, which has a picture of me standing in front of the banner announcing our theme, and the theme was "Make Jesus Happen."
I'm gonna make Jesus happen. Love it. But the heart behind it was there.
The heart behind it was good. Now I realize Jesus makes me happen.
Yes.
So I don't make Jesus happen. Jesus makes me happen. So I have learnt a little bit since that first conference in 1983. And so Jesus has been at work a lot. I'll go back a long way. Probably the most significant thing, and it's related to the Christian Surfers thing, is, well, Christian Surfers didn't just happen because I'm so into surfing, let's just keep that surfing thing going. Let's feed the surfing. It actually came when I surrendered my surfing. And I was so consumed with surfing, and I'd become this Christian, and okay, I'd stopped swearing and tidied up a few things in my life, but my core identity was a surfer. I was really too cool to be a Christian. So I went along to GBC and listened to people talk about the Bible that I never read, and praying that I never prayed, and sharing faith that I was too terrified to do. I was a spectator, and God really challenged me that it was because of surfing. And you know, when I was young, I'd sort of made a deal with God for the surfing to come. God had to go. And now, ironically, God said, well, for me to come, surfing's got to go. And I was 18 years old and I prayed and surrendered my surfing and said, God, I'll never surf again if you don't want me to. I want to be a Christian first. Almost tried to catch the words as they came out of my mouth and go, what have you said? What have you done? And but it was real. And I had this incredible sense of God's Spirit coming upon me that this is now the real deal.
Yeah,
I'm going to be the real deal. I'm going to be a Christian first. Because before that I was a Christian with a little C and a surfer with a capital S.
Yeah.
Now as a Christian with a capital C. And that surfing thing, well, maybe it was gone forever. And ironically, 3 weeks later, my friend Jeff said, I've got this crazy idea. We could start this Christian surfer group.
Wow.
And I had this sense of God giving it back with the proviso, well, just remember whose it is. You gave it to me. You're going to be a Christian surfer, but it's a Christian with a capital C, a surfer with a lowercase s, and it's going to be for my glory, not your glory.
Amen.
Of course, it was all about my glory before. So that was one of the most life-changing things that set the course not only of Christian surfers, but set the course of me and have encouraged people ever since. And in fact, it is one of the cornerstones of surf ministry, ironically, is, well, if you've not surrendered to surfing, God isn't really going to use you. I don't care how well you surf at all.
Yeah, yeah.
God is not interested so much in how well you surf, but how well you serve. And if surfing hasn't been surrendered, it's not going to cut it. So that would be one long, long way back of God at work. If you want something more current.
Yeah, let's fast forward.
Let's fast forward. let's fast forward some 46 years. And these last few years, I've just sensed God at work in fresh ways, because when surfing started, it was just raw, young, single guys riding shortboards. And Australia was essentially, you know, a Christendom era. Now surfing is multi-generational, multi-craft. It's got more women involved. There's so many causes attached to surfing. It's mainstream. It's an Olympic sport. And Australia has gone from, I've watched it being from a Christendom era to post-Christian to anti-Christian. So how do you do mission? How do you do Christian surfers? I've got lots of friends now that would not come to something called Christian surfers.
Oh, I see.
With that word Christian in it, especially my older friends. And I am older, so I'm no longer cool enough. I'm definitely much older and I'm more concerned about my peers.
Sure.
But they're not coming to Christian surfers. They're not coming to church and they're not coming to Christian surfers. So God set me on this journey of, well, how do you do mission amongst your peers? How do you engage people? And I've been led, since God at work, in something I've coined third spaces, you know. So you've got your church space, and the typical Christian mission thing is, well, you come to our space. We'll tell you our answers. You don't really have a voice here. And we'll tell you the answers. Sometimes we'll tell you the answers to the questions you're not even asking, but we'll tell you anyway. Then there's the other space, which is that worldly space, which increasingly, if you're a Christian, you go to that space, your voice is not welcome. And the Christians will either sort of compromise to try and fit in, or they're sort of clunky in that space. So what's a third space? What's a space where, you know, heaven and earth meet, where the church and the world meet, where there's honest dialogue, where all voices are welcome? So I've been exploring and sense God at work in this space. And so I've loved creating spaces for my friends, and they've become friends. I have stronger friendships with my surfing buddies now. The surfing group ended up being coined the Shaping Bay, and my real agenda in is that God gets to shape our lives as the master shaper. But we come together to shape one another and to share our collective wisdom over various topics and a meal and a beer. And that group's been really inspiring, become really great friends. And many of the guys would say, I've never had conversations like this anywhere in my life. The God stuff pops up every now and then from the Christian people, but they're pretty honest people who are sharing their vulnerabilities as well, don't have everything together.
So it's a two-way street between everyone? Cool.
I learned from my friends and they learn from me.
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah.
And I'm quick to say that I don't think Christians have a monopoly on goodness, and some of my friends have got some great things to offer.
Oh, definitely.
And I like to think that we can have the conversation of yes and rather than yes but, you know.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
But you're wrong here and here. But maybe yes and I found even more in Jesus. So that has been a great space. Third spaces, and I think there's so much scope for this, because at the moment my kids and many of our friends are really quite scared to talk about meaningful things, because you're going to get in trouble if you can get cancelled if you have certain views or you can't talk about this or that. Come on, let's find some spaces where we can talk, and especially amongst men, safe places where you can really talk about the real stuff.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, definitely very important.
So that's something new that you've been Instead of working me, then letting God God do some amazing things in that space.
Two mornings ago, I have another group called Finishing Well, and it's for guys in their latter part of life exploring your purpose for the last quarter of life. And I've said to people, I'm getting to a new season of life and I'd like to have a conversation about what does it mean in aging. Surely we've got our most accumulated experience. We've finished with raising little kids and maybe we've got a few assets together. It sounds like you'd be in a pretty good place to make a great contribution. And yet, tragically, sadly, we live in a strange world where youth is esteemed over age, where all societies for most of the time esteemed age over youth. There's got to be a correcting of some of that. Let's get the balance. Mm. So encouraging my friends to discover this. And we had this incredible conversation, which one of my non-Christian neighbours raised of, I want to talk about how we help friends who lose a partner and what happens if you lose a partner yourself.
Yeah.
Because he said, I feel useless in this space and I'm walking on eggshells and I don't know what to say. So two mornings ago we had this great conversation about that. And the last question was, what's going to be the source of hope and foundation that you're even going to feel like you have to offer? Yes. And as a Christian, I can clearly point to Jesus and the resurrection as my hope in that space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a group that only started last year. So there's lots of
sounds powerful.
Things.
And I love it's real. It's just a real authentic place by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Having real conversations and bringing the real stuff to the table to be able to – and like you said, community, people around us, you know, not trying to just deal with things on your own and being able to have a safe space to come and share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how great that those two worlds are aligning and no one would say this is a Christian group or a church group. That would be the last thing. But there's an honest appreciation that, man, some of those things you're saying make sense. And I can say, wow, some of those things make sense. In fact, what you're saying is all lined up in the Bible as well. Isn't that interesting? People are finding that,
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, hoping to hear more about that as that grows and God continues to do more in that space through you and those around you that are also, you know, getting involved in that new third space.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and as surfing has become so prevalent and such a – it's interesting all the sports that are being added to the Olympics, surfing, rock climbing and skateboarding were the last. And I've developed a global action sports ministry network and helping people find the same thing as what we've done with Christian Surfers.
Mm-hmm.
You can do in other sports. And, in fact, I think it's for any of us. Whatever your passion is, maybe that is a God-shaped passion that's been given to you. And it can be combined with a greater God purpose. Mm. Now, how amazing it is when you combine passion with purpose.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we really need to find.
Yes.
I think you're almost unstoppable when you get to that point because you'll be so passionate about the cause or the well, – for you it was for surfing.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else it might be, you know, for drama or something like that or whatever or cooking or something. But whatever it is, if you're passionate about that, you could – definitely organize something to do similar to what you guys have done and really get something happening.
Yes, or just engage in that world. I love being in my local board riders club. I don't have to create an event to get people to go to it. I just go and be part of it, seek to be salt and light right there. You don't have to create anything new. Just go and inject yourself into the place and be salt and light right there with the thing that you're passionate about and you'll find great friendships which will lead to other conversations.
Mm, awesome.
Fantastic. Well, Brett, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Mm.
It has been a delight to get to know you a little bit more and hear where God's been at work in your life.
Thank you. And well, GBC's been a big part of that.
Yes, and it's been wonderful, you know, not just in the past but what God's doing right now and what he's going to do into the future as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. We'll see you around.
Yep, you will.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymerebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.